another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri, and we are ready to discuss what is going on in the world of boxeo. It is still buzzing off of that Ryan Garcia majority decision win. Three knockdowns over Devin Haney Saturday night at Barclays Center. We were there. We're still going to talk about that a little bit and figure out some things, what's next for each guy and all that good stuff. We have a card on August 3rd with Terrence Crawford and Israel Madrimov that is just getting better by the second. We'll get into that as well, plus some weekend stuff. And Amanda Serrano is finding Katie Taylor again. So this is like fight season, Chris. We said it. Fight season is here. We're in the middle of it. It's beautiful. I want to make love to it.
Fight season is here. I'm tired, but I don't care because it's fight season. You got to power through. You know, no days off. You know, we were in Brooklyn this past weekend. Friday we were at the weigh-in. Saturday we had the fight. We did a live show afterwards. Sunday my nephew fights in the finals for the Ringmasters. He wins, and then back to talking boxing.
Monday, bro, we are. I'm glad you said that because this podcast obviously is brought to you by PPV.com. It is the premier place to order pay-per-views. It is the only place to order pay-per-views, in my opinion. We were in that live chat on Saturday night from the Barclays Center with Jim Lampley. We were with you all week long, bringing unbelievable content. And listen, I'm gonna go ahead and pat myself on the back. I'm gonna go ahead and toot my horn, as they said. We had the best week in the history of Inside Boxing Live. And I'll let you behind the curtain a little bit. We're looking at close to 30 million views on our social media platforms during the fight week. And that to me is just amazing.
Sponsors, did you hear that? how many views, Dan?
30 million views.
One more time for the guys in the back.
15 times 2. 30 Woo! Million views. I thank you, everyone that followed along. Thank you, everyone that's now finding our podcast, who's finding our social media. It's not going to stop because we're headed to Canelo versus Munguia. That is the next big fight that you can watch on PPV.com. Stream it to your phone, your tablet, any device, no subscriptions, live chat, very clear stream. It's awesome. It's very, very good. Very strong, strong
healthy,
stream.
Very strong, healthy stream.
Yeah, so it was an awesome fight week. Yeah, I am a little exhausted. I took a little nap right before this podcast, not going to lie. Got some business this morning done, some meetings out of the way, and now here we are. And we're still talking about this fight, man, because that's all anyone still wants to talk about. There's a lot of ways we can go right now. Let me just start with the elephant that's in the room. Ryan Garcia's dad, Ryan Garcia, name-dropping you and your colleagues, Paulie and Tim, because you got a prediction wrong. And you guys talked about the antics of Ryan Garcia that everyone was talking about. That was funny. It was interesting. Do you have anything to say about it? What was your reaction when you saw those comments?
Well, it's certain. I mean, I think we got texted about it like during the show, like as a press conference. We were doing our live show afterwards, and people and like, oh, they just called out Chris. I'm like, I think it's hilarious. For one, you're so he goes, Paulie Malignaggi, Tim Bradley, Chris Algieri, Steve Kim, Mario Lopez, but you know, whatever they said. And I'm just like, that's a who's who of fuck you. So I'll take that. That's a good group of guys to be involved with. But yeah, no, I mean, listen, it is what it is. He's a fighter. I understand it. Guys often get sensitive about whatever gets said to a fight. And then afterwards, you're high on life. You know, like, I get it, man. I was a fighter once too. And I was also 25 once. So I definitely get it.
Did you see his dad, Eddie Hearn?
Yeah, I mean,
funniest clip I've seen in years.
That was so indicative of what this is all is. Like, it's just over exuberance and just losing control. Because as soon as Eddie came back at him, he immediately apologized and
it was so funny.
They're not bad people at all, right. And anything that you and I ever say about a fighter is never ill intent. It's just it is what it is, man. And listen, not for nothing, everything that I said got a lot of fucking clicks. that's what Ryan's good at, and I did it. Right. Now he gets mad. It's just funny to me that. That he's mad at me mad at us for saying things that got a lot of views and went viral, because that's really, what he's been doing for a very long time.
Yeah, the thing that went viral was the DQ prediction, which I didn't think was that crazy, man. Yeah. We're talking like, we have revisionist history. I understand that's what the sport is all about.
It's so funny how many people come at me like, you're a fucking clown. You're an idiot. I'm like, dude, relax. You think I fucking care if I got a prediction wrong? First of all, well, I don't. Second of all, get out of my fucking DMs, you dork. Like, what is this?
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I wouldn't say a lot, but there's a lot more Ryan Garcia fans than I thought were out there, because I couldn't really find a lot of Ryan Garcia fans before the fight. Yeah, all I could hear was a lot of the Ryan Garcia people that were worried. If you went back and watched
the
people show,
closest to him were worried, which is why, like, this in hindsight, so it's funny. You said it perfectly. Revisionist history. All these people are like, I knew Ryan was going to win. Like, yeah, where were you before?
Those are fans of Ryan. He does have fans, but I didn't hear from them too much.
The Swifties, I call them. Those are
Swifties. They're all jumping into our comment section and posting pictures of Ryan Garcia. Like, I'm happy he won. If you went back and watched some of our videos in the lead up to this fight, you weren't going to find me saying that he should be fighting. You weren't going to find me saying that he shouldn't be fighting. I didn't comment on his mental health. I had no idea what his mental health was. Just today, he said that there's documentation of him saying, watch this, I'm about to lead everyone on a wild chase for the next 2 or 3 months to show you that I'm crazy. Do I believe that? Probably not. I think there was some manic episodes for him. But for everyone to act like, you know, he wasn't showing signs of erratic behavior and maybe the fight should be called off, like, respected voices in boxing were saying those things. Okay, now in terms of inside of the ring, go back and watch our Fact or Fiction podcast. Go back and look at one of the prompts that I have. Or go back and watch some of the things that I said. I said, am I crazy to think that Ryan Garcia can land something big on Devin Haney? And what did you say, Chris? No, you're not crazy, Dan, because Ryan Garcia is very talented. And Ryan Garcia has an ultimate eraser. And when you're that twitchy, you can land something. And I said, yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of people talking about his behavior and not enough people talking about the fact that he can land something big on Devin Haney. So anyone out there that doesn't wants to dunk and do all that, that's fun. It's part of boxing, and it makes the world go round, and I've been enjoying it for the last couple of days. But don't act like, you know, on this show we were, you know, just 100% against Ryan Garcia, because that's not the type of show we do, and that's not the type of show I've ever done in the last 5 or 6 years.
It's also really funny how, like, even his dad was like, oh, well, I'm glad they lost. I'm like, we didn't lose. We don't lose. We're covering winner or loser. We don't have a favorite. We don't have a dog in the race, a horse in the race. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm happy for Ryan.
Right.
We like that both afterwards. Those guys. We like both those guys. But also, I'm happy with the result because it was good for boxing. Because if there really was mental health issues and he really did go went the way that it looked like it was going to, the way that, you know, he was setting up the social media wise, that would have been really bad for boxing. But this is way better. It actually became an excellent fight. They both fought their asses off. Haney, you got to tip your hat to him. He gritted it out, really showed how tough he is and how much he is really a fighter. And so did Ryan. So you got two warriors in there who actually made a good fight together. And it's much better for boxing the way that it turned out.
Yeah, and I like that the fact afterwards on our show you said, listen, I'll eat crow. I don't mind being wrong if it means we get a good fight. This is a fight that delivered. I mean, they're looking at pay-per-view numbers.
Thank God, because the undercard was so piss poor.
Yeah, the undercard was really bad. But this fight delivered for a lot of reasons, back and forth type of stuff. Stuff that a lot of casual fans bought this fight, and they came away very, very satisfied because there was moments of drama. You didn't know what you were going to get. There were knockdowns. It had everything. That's the type of
fight.
It was
close, too. It was a close fight. It was not a blowout.
I don't think it was a close fight. 114, 110, I guess that could be kind of close. But I mean, it was a weird fight to score in terms of those rounds. We'll get
114, 110 is close, because, I mean, then you have two scored knockdowns in there. So that's, you know, really 114, 112. That's a close fight.
But what I mean is, like, it was close, I guess, on the scorecard. But if you were watching it like, Haney just didn't have any moments. And I was going to wait to get into the stats.
Well, no, I mean, he rocked him in the fourth pretty bad.
Yeah, that was one moment. But I think Ryan obviously had the demonstrative moments in the fight, obviously. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Whatever you think the fight went down, the right guy won. Absolutely. But it was the right type of fight. It was the right outcome. It was fun. And it does wonders for the sport, because just before this, I'm watching the Michael Kay Show, which is a New York-based sports show, which they rarely talk about boxing. And Peter Rosenberg is talking about the Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney fight. And he's not referring to it as a joke. He's not referring to it as what they usually talk about when they bring up boxing, about all the negatives. They were talking about a fun fight between two young guys in their 20s. That's what I'm talking about. And I feel like we're in the middle of a great moment in boxing where we're getting some of these 50-50 fights, you know, that we'll talk about between Tim Tszyu and who's he fighting? Virgil Ortiz.
And Dan, so you just touched on something, a moment in boxing. Ryan Garcia had a loss. Now Devin Haney has a loss. So can we get rid of the era of the O's that was created by Floyd Mayweather? We don't need your guys to be undefeated.
I think it's going.
I think so too. And I think Turki Alashik has a lot.
Say it again, Chris. Say that again.
Say what?
Can we get rid of the O's?
Let's get rid of some O's. Guys, why do you have five guys in one weight class with O's? That doesn't make sense. And you got three of them are champions. They should be fighting each other. Let's get rid of the O's. These guys need to fight each other. You can lose and come back. And it's been, throughout history, fighters have lost and come back. The best fighters in the world have losses. Floyd's really the only one who didn't. Rocky Marciano, but that's ages ago. I mean, the modern era, you know, Andre Ward as well. But Andre also had a big gap in his career, a couple years off based on contract issues. But, you know, listen, O's are great. But we'd rather have guys fight each other when they're in their primes. And I think that's a lot more important for the sport on the whole. I think Turki Alashik is helping with that. He's putting these fights together. You had mentioned the Virgil Ortiz and Tim Zhu fight, which is a very dangerous fight for both guys. They're putting a lot on the line. But Turki Alashik's going to make those kind of fights happen because, listen, you're going to get paid for it. Good. I want fighters to get paid. I want them to fight each other. I want them to get paid what they're worth for with these dangerous fights, and that's a very dangerous fight. And now, like I said, we got Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia both have a loss. And they're both excellent fighters, and they're both going to do big things in their next fights, which is a nice segue into what we're going to talk about next, right?
Dan? Yeah, but just to put a bow on what you're talking about, I couldn't agree more, and I think we're in the middle of a movement. Turki Alashik is throwing crazy money, and that's a really good way to get these guys to fight each other, because normally Tim Zhu would not be fighting Virgil Ortiz next unless they were throwing higher than market value money at them. But if you just kind of shrink it down a little more to the four quote unquote kings or whatever you want to call them, now take a look at it. Teofimo Lopez has a loss. Ryan Garcia fights Tank Davis, has a loss, comes back, beats Devin Haney. Now Devin Haney has a loss. Hopefully he bounces back and he gets back into the ring. He's only 25 years old, but he did take a beating in that fight. Point being, we're all starting to see it open up a little bit. You get rid of the fact that they're going to lose, and someone has to lose in the fight. It doesn't matter. As long as we're getting these nights, as long as you, the fighter, are making top dollar and you're getting the attention. Like Shakur Stevenson was probably looking at that fight on Saturday night. Teofimo was looking at that fight on Saturday night and thinking, man, I want that type of stage. I want that type of attention. And the only way you're going to get that is by fighting your contemporaries that have those names that the fans have wanted to see for years. So I think we're gradually getting there. And the fact that they're all beating each other and fighting each other, it's a great thing. So a really good point with that one. As for Ryan Garcia, he says he's going to be headed to 147. I think that's the weight that he has to fight at. He called out Gervonta Davis to fight at 144 pounds. I don't see Gervonta going above 140. What do you think?
No, a fight does not happen. I actually just listened to Ryan on Patrick Bet David. PBD. But and he was saying that exact point. He's like, hey, the next fight I want is Tank, but I don't think it's going to happen because he's not going to meet me at 145. He said, which that doesn't make.
Oh,
any
he
sense.
Added a pound. Okay,
it's a 10 pound plus for Tank. It doesn't really make sense for him to do that. And that's going to be an issue moving forward, especially after we saw what we saw on Saturday night. Ryan is just not the same size as these guys. He's not really in the same weight class. He can't. These fights with the four horsemen of the 135 division, these talented young guys that we've always talked about, he's not in that anymore. He's outgrown all of those guys. Teofimo Lopez is smaller than Devin Haney, and Devin Haney looked tiny next to Ryan on Saturday night. Gervonta is smaller than both of those guys. So he's just not in that weight class anymore. He's a 47-pounder and above. He looked like a 54-pounder in the ring on Saturday night. We're not going to see him below 147. Even 145 for him, I think, is going to be tough to make at this point. But really, I think he should really just focus his sights on 147, even 154. He's talking about Fundora. That fight makes sense, too.
He said Fundora to me, I audibly, like, you can watch the video. It has, like, 8 million views right now. I kind of giggled. Because it's like the last name I was thinking of. But honestly, the way he said he was 160 on fight night. The way he looked in there,
means
and how
he's
big
probably
he was,
163, 164.
Right. The way he looked and how big he was, he
looks huge.
154 is not out of the question. 147.
And Fundora is open to the left hook. Yeah. And his chin is not great. And Ryan can really punch. And if he showed nothing else, he showed that. Yeah. He's also showed that he likes to fight. And, you know, he wants tough challenges. He wants to get in there. The kid doesn't have to fight. He's got money. He can make money no matter what. But he's not going to stop now.
I mean, come on.
I'm saying he's not doing it for the money. He doesn't have to. I mean, he says he is, but he doesn't have to. He can make money outside the ring. He's not going to make the money he can make in the ring. No, but
in one night. He should fight for like 5 more years. He's 25. Fight till you're 30. You know, like, it's crazy because I didn't think he's going to be long for the sport. But it's amazing what one night can do to you. It's a sport where you're judged off of one night. And for one night, Ryan Garcia revitalized his career. I don't know what's next for him because I just don't know the weight yet. But if it's 147 to 154, and if he stays with Golden Boy and under that DAZN banner, I mean, you could fight a Virgil Ortiz. You could fight, like, anyone at this point. Anything is open because, you know, the Saudis are coming to the U.S. They're working with PBC. They're working with everybody. So that's a huge development. The sky's the limit now for any type of fight in boxing. It's crazy to say that.
Golden Boy doesn't really have the connection with Saudi.
What's stopping it?
I don't know about that. Ryan doesn't need it. Ryan doesn't need the Saudis. He makes money anyway. So I'm saying if
the Saudis want to jump in and make money, and you say that they don't have a Golden Boy doesn't have a relationship with the Saudis, but DAZN does, and that's what Ryan Garcia fights on, mm-hmm. and that's where this upcoming fight on August 3rd with Terrence Crawford, this mega card that they're talking about, is a Saudi Rida season coming to the U.S. type of thing with Eddie Hearn.
You saw the tweet from Oscar today, right?
Well, what do you say?
Oh yeah, okay. So we got breaking news, Dan. I'm learning you today.
I love this.
So Oscar De La Hoya tweeted about no one's going to come into my country, especially into my town, and put on a show, you know, around me. So I don't know if he's talking about Eddie, if he's talking about Turkey El Sheikh,
okay,
or if he's
Oscar.
Talking about both,
Oscar.
Or he's talking about connected. You know how Oscar does. But
come on, so what are you talking about? So does he mean that, like, he doesn't want them to put on this card August 3rd? Like, Virgil Ortiz that's kind of troubling because Virgil Ortiz is his fighter. And he's rumored to be fighting Tim Zhu on this Saudi card, but the fans are going nuts over this card.
Let me read the exact tweet since we are a boxing media podcast.
That's right.
Nobody, I mean nobody, is coming to my country and or city and think they can take over boxing. I am a fighter first, and I will fight hard for what I love most, and that's boxing. Viva.
Well, I love Oscar, but like, why would you alienate the Saudi guy? He's bringing together promoters. He's bringing fights now to the States, which was the biggest criticism, is that all these fights are going to go to Saudi. Work with him. Like, you're not going to overpower him, number one. And number two, this is a fight card that everyone in boxing is excited about. All the fans are excited about. It's just Oscar. I understand. I love him to death. But, man, he says some strange things sometimes. Well, let's talk about Devin Haney quickly. I feel like a lot of the tension has been on Ryan Garcia. From a fighter's standpoint, that type of beating that Devin took, you know, first round to the 12th round, broke it, looks like a broken jaw. I think he said that nothing was broken, but damn near looked like a broken jaw. 25 years old, that's a beatdown that he took. How long will it take him to bounce back, and do you have any hesitations about him bouncing back?
No, I mean, he's young enough, and my colleague Paul Malignaggi had a great line yesterday. He said, I was 25 when I fought Cotto, and I took a hellacious beating in that fight and broke my jaw and orbital and took a lot of punches and got hurt and got cut and all these different things. I'm not saying that he broke his jaw, by the way. He reported he did not. But he said – and he came back and became a world champion. So Haney has a road to recovery. He's just got to be – he's just got to get his get healthy first, obviously, taking care of his mind and his brain and his brain health and recovering properly. Rest, don't get back in the gym too early. And then after that, it's just getting your psychology back, getting your psyche back, getting your confidence back. So it'll be a road. It's a road back. Every loss is tough. But, you know, beatings are a lot worse, you know, and you never know. PTSD is a real thing in fighters. Like, that can come back to you, especially when you've had a really rough night and you've taken a lot of damage. Because Devin's never been in that situation before.
No.
And so, yeah, listen, but is there a path to recovery? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the way that they have maneuvered his career, they'll be smart about his recovery. And that, you know, that's it, man. He's got a load of money to sit on and play with as he gets better. And then it's back to the drawing board, back to work.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we always talked about Devin Haney being the most disciplined fighter, having a great game plan inside and outside the ring, how his dad has masterfully crafted his career. And that was not the case for this fight. That was not the case inside of the ring. It was not the case outside of the ring, allowing Ryan Garcia to come in at that weight, no rehydration clause. And then he gets inside of the ring, and for the first four rounds was jabbing. I mean, he obviously got clocked in the first round. Landed 26 jabs in the first four rounds, and then he completely abandoned it, landed in only 18 over the final eight rounds. I didn't like what I saw from inside of the ring. We talked about this on the post-fight show, not throwing the jab enough, standing in the center, you know, trying to hook with him, which is just not a good idea. I couldn't believe that from Haney. So for a guy that has been doing everything correct in his career up until this point, had a bad night in the ring, had a bad night with some of the things outside, allowing Ryan Garcia to kind of come in there and be that damn big. But over to Ryan Garcia, lastly, we'll end with this. In terms of his game plan, this is another thing that was interesting, is that Ryan was the one that had a game plan, albeit a flawed one, and he executed it. He said he didn't have the best gas tank. Obviously, he didn't train hard for this fight. He could have trained a lot harder. He drank every single night. This is self-admitted from Ryan Garcia. He never threw more than 20, excuse me, Garcia threw 20 or fewer punches in 5 of the 12 rounds and never threw more than 40 in any round at all. So he knew his engine. He didn't go over it. He took those middle rounds off, and then in rounds 10 through 12, poured it on by outlanding Haney 37-18. Yes, that is a game plan. Some people were pushing back on me on social media. Yeah, he knew that he didn't have a lot of energy. He knew he had to conserve it, so he fought in spurts, and he fought wisely. And I also think that he got Devin Haney to a false sense of security in those middle rounds, and then he exploded in rounds 10 through 12 and almost got him out of there. So it's interesting because Haney's the one with the master plan. Haney's the master boxer with all that stuff, and it was Ryan Garcia, the crazy man, who came out with a game plan, a flawed game plan, and executed it.
Yeah, I mean, so I got to touch on both guys, obviously, but Devin Haney, in terms of his team and in terms of the collapse, it actually reminded me of the Manny Pacquiao fight, because I felt like my team had let me down leading up to the fight in a number of ways, and then on fight night, I let myself down and let the team down as well, because things were just not going my way. So I think Team Haney, for the very first time, well, I know this, for the very first time, they weren't in the driver's seat. That's how big of a star Ryan is. You come to the table with him, not the other way around. And I think that was showed in one, the split of the purses, where Ryan got more than Haney, even though Haney's a champion. So that right there, that you're giving up something to a guy who's not the champion. You're giving up something to the challenger. Then Ryan shows up and he's overweight. Any other fighter, that fight does not go on. You are 3 pounds overweight for a world title fight, bye, boom, you don't fight. But because of the power and the money that Ryan brings, the fight happens anyway. Yeah, he got paid $1.5 million. Ryan says he basically just bet that money on himself to win at a 5-1 underdog. So regardless, whatever, if that's true or not. But listen, it's a real thing that he had the control of all these situations that Haney's team did not. And it finally culminated in the fight. And then Haney himself, in terms of what their game plan was, I said it when we were watching their warm-up. Like, why is he throwing leaping left hooks? Devin Haney's throwing leaping left hooks in the back warming up. Where's the jab? Where's your changing levels? Where's your hand position? Where's your answer the phone? None of that was there. And so the execution of the game plan, the choice of the game plan, the execution of the game plan, it all fell apart. And it fell apart. The wheels fell off on the Haney train. And then in terms of Ryan and, you know, the quote-unquote game plan, I mean, he big brothered him. He knew, I'm bigger than you, I'm stronger than you, and guess what? You can't hurt me. I'm going to get you. I may not have the gas tank. I might have some beer sweating out of my body at this moment, but I can crack you, and I can knock you out. And he had that self-belief, and that's one thing I heard an interview, Derek James, saying that he's amazed at the self-belief that Ryan Garcia has in himself, and he showed. Even when Ryan was gassed, and he was gassed in a lot of rounds, trying to catch his breath, trying to stay away, like you said, he was like almost like he was setting traps, almost like he was lulling Devin to sleep. Honestly, I think he was just focused on getting his breath back so he can throw another heavy bag combination, because essentially that's what he did. He walked around the ring and threw heavy bag combinations. They're just so brilliantly fast and so powerful, and Devin just did not have any kind of game plan on how to defend against it. That, you know, he was able to do that at will, and he was in control. And that's one thing about being in control of the pace. You don't get as tired as fast when you are in control of the pace. Devin Haney had to work very hard all night long because he was worried about the power.
Yeah.
Ryan was able to control the pace. He also had a guy in front of him that really couldn't hurt him. That's why he's turning his back. You never turn your back on a guy who can hurt you because he can hit you with a punch you can't see and it's going to hurt that much more. Mm-hmm. He knew Devin couldn't hurt him. I'm going to turn my back. He can punch me in my kidneys. I don't care. It doesn't hurt. I'm fine. You're not strong enough for me. So, I do think a lot of what what Ryan did in there was calculated, but I also think a lot of it had to do, like you said, with his conditioning, his battery, his gas tank, which he admitted to. But all in all, Ryan made it work. Devin didn't.
Right.
And that's the end of the day.
You know, what's funny. It's like, I don't know if it's funny, maybe ironic is the word to use, that Haney, it was the one that's chasing the legacy, right? Doing it the right way. Collecting belt after belt. That was what he was saying in the lead up, to this fight. But, you know, he could have maybe put some type of rehydration clause in after Ryan came in overweight, had some leverage there, and didn't, because he wanted to make that money. This was a money fight for Devin Haney. He did not have to fight Ryan Garcia, but he wanted to make the money. He stepped out of his normal plan, and he wanted to fight Ryan Garcia, wanted some of that shine, and it backfired. And it didn't backfire. I shouldn't say it backfired, because we're asking for these guys to fight each other, and I'm glad they did. And yeah, Devin Haney did lose the fight, but he fought admirably. He fought to the 12th round. He got up every time. He was in unbelievable shape to eat some of those shots and get up and fight to that last bell. So I hope he gets his props. I hope he gets his respect in there. And I hope he does bounce back. But it's going to be a long road. But, man, this fight had some narratives heading in, and it had some narratives coming out. And that's the beauty of the sport. So that's awesome. And I'm really curious to see what each guy does next. Moving on to a fight that is happening August 3rd in Los Angeles that just seems to be getting better and better by the day as they add on these fight cards. Now, Terrence Crawford is going to be fighting Israel Madrimov. Israel Madrimov is the WBA 154-pound champion. He just recently won that title after being out of the ring for several months, even years. So the fight is on August 3rd in Los Angeles. But the catch with this is that it's part of Turki Alçalık's Rida season, and they're coming to the U.S. for their first card in association with Matchroom Boxing and Eddie Hearn. So you're going to see Eddie Hearn this week at a press conference in New York City. You're going to see Turki Alçalık up on the stage. You're going to see Terrence Crawford up on the stage. And now they're filling out the fight card. And what they like to do is stack the cards. So this is something we know from these Saudi cards. And right now being reported is Isak Cruz versus Jose Valenzuela, Andy Ruiz versus Jarrell Miller. There's a rumor of Leo Santa Cruz fighting Abner Maris in a trilogy fight. Decent undercard, but out of nowhere, Mike Coppinger is reporting that we could potentially see Tim Zhu fighting Virgil Ortiz on the co-main event of this card, which now makes this one of the best cards of the year in Los Angeles. This is juicy, man.
Hey, this might be a hot take. That's a better fight than the main event. I know it's Terrence Crawford, but it's, I don't know. Madurov doesn't really make my chops that salivating. But Ortiz and Zhu, oh man, sign me up for that all day long. That's an awesome fight of young guys. We were just talking about making these young fighters fight each other in their primes. Dangerous fight for both guys. Hard fight to pick. I'm gonna have to really sit down and watch them technically to see who's gonna get the victory that night.
Yeah, it's not finalized because Virgil Ortiz is fighting this weekend. He's gonna beat Thomas Delorme, and also his manager just replied to one of my tweets. Rick Mirahan said this is a real report. He's got to get through Delorme, but it's something that we are discussing, and it's something that when Virgil Ortiz came back and he got into the ring in January, and he had that quick win. That quick stoppage, and he got in there and he called out Tim Zhu, and then Tim Zhu responded on Twitter and said, I would love to fight you one day. And I remember we talked about it, and we were like, oh man, that's a throwback fight, but you know, we'll never get it because Tim Zhu is with PBC and Virgil Ortiz is with The Zone, and Virgil Ortiz is working his way back up, and Zhu is trying to build his name. We were kind of conditioned as fight fans to what we've seen over the last 5-7 years, but now all bets are off. Like, Turki Alçalık is now working with the PBC. There was pictures with Louis DeCubis and Turki Alçalık over the weekend. He's working with everyone. And not only that, he's bringing it to the States. What's the biggest criticism of Rida season? What's the biggest criticism of these Saudi fights? Yeah, we're getting awesome fights, but it's happening across the world. There's no real atmosphere in there. There's no gate. I think Turki Alçalık was like, hey, I kind of want a gate. I kind of want to tap into that money. I kind of want to make these big fights happen. This guy's the man. He is Time Person of the Year. Crown this guy because he's now bringing the fights to. He's now bringing the fights to the U.S. and he's now giving us what we want.
Yeah, I was talking about His Highness recently, and I said, you know, he's here to stay. I don't think this guy's going anywhere. As much as there's no such thing as altruism, and especially in boxing, it certainly kind of seems like he doesn't care about the money. He doesn't care what it costs. He likes fighters. He likes the culture. He respects fighters. He especially likes the big fighters, the heavyweights in terms of size. I mean, he's putting these fights together because he wants to see them. Like it's, I mean, call it altruism or call it being selfish, but he wants to see good fights and he can make them happen. So why not? And we're all going to benefit from it, the fighters included. So I am all for everything that Turki Alışık is doing for the sport, for the fighters themselves. And the fact that he's coming over here, man, that's just, he just silenced all the criticisms that I had for, you know, what this was, but also at the same time, I didn't care because I can watch it on my phone. I can watch it anywhere. So
yeah. He also said he wants to bring Fury fights Joshua. He has no problem doing it in Wembley. As long as it's like a Riyadh season signs everywhere, like you're going to beat you over the head with that. But I'll gladly take that. Tim Zujic tweeted, only want the biggest and badass fights for the fans. Love good that. Fan. I honestly good feel fan. Like we are in a little bit of a moment right now in boxing where we're getting these fights we'd never thought. A lot of things are happening behind the scenes in order for them to happen. If you have a guy with deep pockets who loves boxing. Yeah, he does love the heavyweights, Chris, but he's made it be known.
Branched out.
He's branching out. He says he wants to.
That was really my criticism. It wasn't so much that they were far away because I didn't really care. Like, I wasn't going to go to Riyadh, but also I don't want to go to down the block to watch a fight. I'd rather watch it on my couch. But irregardless, yeah, I love heavyweights too, and we need a strong heavyweight division to have a strong and healthy sport, and that's been happening as of late. But man, there's so many great fighters below there, and the smaller fighters don't make the money the heavyweights do, and they deserve it. So the fact that he is branching out of the heavyweight division and now getting these smaller guys paid is very, very cool.
Yeah, like when I say smaller guys, I think of like superflies. Like he wants to now invest into 135, 140. Like he's talking about having Gervonta Davis come to Saudi or Gervonta Davis get some of that back. He's talking about Ryan Garcia. He's talking about Devin Haney. He's talking about those types of names, not like the tiny guys, like the superflies that usually don't get any attention. He's now going down into other weight classes, into 154, now with Crawford at 140, 154, and also looking at some of the glamour division right now, which is 140 and 135. But how about Crawford? Like we kind of skipped over Crawford fighting Madrimov. I know you said Madrimov isn't like anything that the fans don't even know who he is, but this fight now is potentially for two titles at 154 pounds. Madrimov is the WBA world champion, and the WBO title is vacant because Fundora is out until December with the broken nose, according to Samson Lukowicz. And also with the Crawford clause in the WBO is that he can jump up to 154 and fight for a full world title. So, yeah, it's not the best matchup in terms of, like, sizzle. I do think it'll be a fun fight because Madrimov is really good. But Crawford versus Madrimov is now for two belts. If Crawford wins this fight, which he should, Crawford has half of the share at 154, and now we're cooking. Now we're getting some names back in there. Jermell Charlo is talking about coming back to 154. There's Virgil Ortiz. There's Tim Zuda, Sebastian Fundora. There's Errol Spence. There's potentially Ryan Garcia. Like, things are starting to – this puzzle is starting to form. But Crawford and Madrimov is interesting to me because Crawford can walk away with two belts at 154.
Yeah, and a fourth weight class. And it's not out of the question. It's actually probably going to happen. I see a path for current Terrence Crawford to be undisputed in yet another weight class. He picks up two belts here in this fight. Fundora comes out in November. He can fight in November. You go right to Crawford. They can fight for the third title. And then what are we missing?
The Fundora would be that would be like to figure out who the real champ is. WBO.
Okay.
No. I'm sorry. That's wrong. Fundora has the WBC.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So there's another belt there. So that's WBO. That's WBC. And then what's the other one they have there? WBA.
IBF.
IBF. And WBA is the new guy.
Madrimov.
But yeah. Shit. What? Crawford could be another undisputed. And then he can get the Charlo fight at the end of that. Defending his undisputed against the former undisputed. That's a history books right there.
Yeah, I'm trying to see who's right now, who the champ is at IBF champ at 154. Charlo is just the ring champ. Fandora's the WBC, WBO. Zoo doesn't have a belt. Majumov is WBA. Who the heck's the IBF champ?
Yes, the
not Majumov.
No, the other guy. The other guy with the M who just beat Jack Kolke.
Oh, Melikuziev?
Maruziev.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, sorry, guys. There's always got to be one. There's always got to be...
Sorry for killing your name, buddy. But...
No offense to that guy, but, you know, all right, we'll figure that out. It can't be perfect because of all these belts. When you have four freaking organizations, you're going to have... it's not going to be perfect, but it's starting to form into something really nice.
Yeah. Crawford can pull two of them in his next fight against Majumov, which he should win. And then I think it would be very easy to make the Fandora fight. And then he's got, you know, one more guy. And that guy, you know, if he holds on to the belt.
Spence is going to fight Fandora in December. That's my guess. That's another boxing thing.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's probably going to happen. So anytime Terrence Crawford gets back into the ring, I wish it was a lot sooner than over a year since the Spence fight. But so much happened with that Spence fight. He beat him so bad that the rematch clause went away. It's Terrence Crawford. He doesn't exactly run into the ring. But he could finish off his career at 154. And who knows? That Canelo fight's still out there, too, if he still wants that. Interesting stuff. How about this, Chris? This kind of got glossed over. It kind of got lost in the news, but it's a very, very big deal. Amanda Serrano is fighting Katie Taylor in a rematch of their Thriller from 2022. And guess what? It's on the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul undercard, meaning it's going to have an unbelievable amount of viewership because it's going to be streaming live and free on Netflix. Their first fight was one of the best women's fights I've ever seen, one of the best atmospheres I was ever a part of. I didn't wonder how they would top it, but oh my God, they are topping it at Jerry World with a record attendance live on Netflix. I mean, this is such a great moment for Amanda Serrano and Katie Taylor. Great moment for women's boxing. It's a great moment for boxing in general. I'm just so happy that they're going to have the rematch because there was a while where I didn't think they were going to get the rematch. But, man, this is a big, big deal.
Yeah, and unfortunately it took this long. I feel like this was a no-brainer for these two to fight again. But obviously, you know, we know with Katie, she had that back and forth, you know, loss and then recovered and came back and got the win. Yeah, this has been a long time coming. It's turning into – I know Katie looked great in her last fight. Amanda hasn't looked that great since their first fight. So I'm wondering if this is just going to be kind of like the old lady version of the first one, which actually can still be a good fight. We've seen people fight when they're both a little bit older. And they just
I don't know, man. I thought Katie looked pretty good against Chantel Cameron in the last fight.
She did. No, she did. But I don't think she's the same person she was a couple years, you know.
Yeah, they're getting up. They're definitely getting up there in age.
And I said that. I said Katie looked good in her last fight, and Amanda hasn't looked good since their first fight. But, you know, it makes me think of, like, Gotti Ward. Like, even though their third fight, they were both older and shop-worn, it was one of the best of the three because they just know each other so well and they don't know how to make bad fights. I feel like that's going to be the case with Katie and Amanda. Like, they're not going to make a bad fight.
No.
Hopefully they can get a rubber match out of this. If they can, you know, depending on if Amanda can win this one back and they can go again, you know, more any opportunity that these women have to make big, big money and get a lot of attention on them, I think is well-deserved and long coming.
Yeah, their first fight had record purses. This one is going to break all those types of purses, according to MVP, Jake Paul promotion that's putting this on. And good for them. Like, we're wondering what the undercard is going to look like. You know, is it going to be – it could be anything. It could be a YouTuber fight. It could be a main fight. But to see Serrano and Taylor on the undercard of Paul and Tyson, it's huge. It's going to be 10 two-minute rounds. That's what Katie Taylor wanted. It's for all of Katie Taylor's lightweight belts. She still has all – four of those belts at 135. She hasn't relinquished those. So Serrano will move back up to 135. Her last three fights were at 126. And then for Taylor, she's moving down from 140. Her last two fights were at 140 against Chantel Cameron. I do think it will be an exciting fight. I think these two just mesh well. Yes, they're at the end of their careers. There's no doubt about that. That's just a fact. But these two lay it on the line. Their first fight was unbelievable. I'm just happy that they're fighting. And it's going to be in front of a ton of eyeballs on Netflix and at Jerry World. So that's an awesome, awesome thing. As for this weekend, I'm heading down to Orlando to call MVP6 over on DAZN, Most Valuable Promotions. They do some great stuff with these up-and-coming fighters. Yoenis Teles is the main event. You might remember him. He had a huge knockout at the end of last year. He also beat Sergio Garcia
Yeah, he's tough.
Spence Crawford card. He's an up-and-coming 154-pounder. So I'm excited to get out down to Orlando, get some sun, go in the pool a little bit, call some fights. Over on Golden Boy on the Zone, they have another fight card. Virgil Ortiz, who we just talked about, fighting Thomas Delorme, Jose Ramirez.
So you're saying when we do our first show next week, you're going to be Lobster Dan?
I'm trying to – I'm making it a point.
Guys, this guy does not tan, I'm telling you.
Well, I live in New York. It's hard, man. It's 60 degrees today, and I'm stuck inside, working and getting stuff done. But I'm making it a point on this trip. They have an unbelievable pool. This resort is awesome. Caribe Royale in Orlando. They have this giant pool. Great. They have this waterfall that I've always wanted to go on. They have this slide that I always wanted to go down, but I'm always so busy. Like, I got all my prep work done. I'm going to spend Thursday. I'm actually going to take some time and go in the pool. I'm going to take some time and lather up my chest with SPF 70, and I'm going to lay out there.
That thing that you call a chest?
Come on, bro. What the hell?
Jesus.
Uncalled for. Sorry, I'm not chiseled from stone, okay?
Hey, dude, I'm getting you on a workout plan. We've talked about this.
Yeah. Chris did send me a workout plan that is just – it's a little intimidating. It's like 30 pages. I just need to know what to eat, when to work out, and so I can be absolutely – my goal is to be in pretty good shape for 4th of July, but then also just for September when hopefully Canelo Benavidez, we're at the pool, and I post the picture, and everyone's like, oh, man, is Kenobi on the juice? Is Kenobi on that test?
Yep.
Is he on that – what's that cocktail? What's the cocktail the fighters take?
Clomputerol.
Yeah, give me some
EPO.
Of that. I want people to think that.
Winstrol.
Give me all of it. All the straws. Give me all that HGH, shit that, you know, HGH. Sammy Sosa was on.
Get you on HGH, Winstrol.
Seriously, though, can I take that stuff?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, okay, now let's talk. Let me come down to South Florida.
I've been telling you for over a year to get on shit.
Let me stay an extra couple days in Orlando. I'll extend my stay. I'll come down to South Florida. Not that you know where to get this stuff, but like,
I know
mess
some
around.
People. I know
mess
some
around. Biogenesis.
Listen, if you're around gyms long enough, and especially down here, there's a big beauty industry, like Botox and all that. That's they all got the drugs. You're good.
Make me beautiful, Chris. I want to be just beautiful, man.
Get some skincare. Get some tan. Get some juice in you. You're fucking good.
Get a freaking makeover. Be the most. This is weird, but I am going to start working out. I am going to start working out, and people are going to be shocked what they see. All right, everybody. Nice. Shocked. How's Pro Box going to look this weekend?
Oh, we got a good fight. Ramon Cardenas is back. He looked phenomenal his last fight, breaking the jaw of Picasso, who's on like a 12-fight win streak.
Right, I remember that guy. Yeah,
it was a good fight. It was a really good fight. And Cardenas is really, really good. He's one of the better guys we've had on our air. So he fights. Marcus Valle's got a big step up fighting his first 10-rounder against Damian Sosa. It's a good – he's always fun to watch. So, yeah, we got some good fights. I mean, as usual.
Love it. Hope everyone enjoyed the show. I hope everyone enjoyed the fight last weekend. Hope everyone's enjoying what's about to come in this fight season that we're on next week. Canelo Alvarez versus Jaime Munguia, who we need to drum up some narratives of this fight because it's sneaking up on us. Naoya Inoue is fighting Luis Neri Monday after.
I got a narrative. How about my Jaime Munguia might win?
Love it.
I got a weird feeling. We're gonna get into this as we get closer, but man, I got a really weird feeling.
Yeah, we'll have another episode out Monday where we'll talk a lot about Canelo and Munguia. We'll have our in-ring breakdown. We'll have all that. I mean, damn, we're into another fight week, which is crazy. Everyone, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. If you have a skincare routine, if you have HGH for me, send it in the DMs. We're out.